24, and we'll go to Matthew 27. I was talking to Paul Jant the other night on the phone, like I said, and his wife, her name's Rowena Jant. I've known her for years and years, and I was talking to Paul, and I said, Paul, I'll let you go, brother. He says, brother, he said, my wife wants to talk to you. He said, she'll beat both of us up if she don't get to talk to you. And I've known her since she was a young lady down in Bible school. And we got talking about her kids and our kids and how her kids are serving the Lord and how her one son was a Green Beret and fought in Iraq and was wounded. And she was telling me all those things. And I said, you tell him thank you. Tell him thank you for his service and thank you for, she goes, oh, he remembers you. He remembers you. And, but, you know, you'd be surprised how many Christians there are out there, and they're all over the place, Christians all over the place. So this boy fought in Iraq, and just a bunch of things she was just telling me about her. Brother Reed, his grandson, pastors churches in Texas. And she said, Brother Allen, she said, you know what's sad? I said, what's that? She says, you know, you don't hear anybody preaching on the second coming much anymore of Jesus Christ. He said, you don't hear very many people preaching on heaven. She said, I know probably in our circle, maybe yours, and she said, they preach more on it. But she said, but churches, fundamental churches, are not preaching on the second coming of Jesus Christ. When I first got saved, I mean, I remember them talking about the Lord coming back in the 70s. I thought, man, he could come back any day. I didn't think my children would grow up. I thought the Lord was coming back. He was going to be back then. I never thought, my grandkids, Tori, she's 18 now. I think it's almost 18. I never thought she would grow up and be that age. I thought the Lord's coming back. And now he is coming. Now, the Bible says men's going to get to the place in this time and this age. You're going to say, where's the promise of his coming? Is he coming? He's coming. You can see the world getting worse and worse and worse and things happening. And the Lord said it was going to come. Now, take your Bible, look at Matthew 24. And it says, as he sat upon the Mount of Olives, disciples came unto him privately saying, tell us, when shall these things be? Now, we were on the Mount of Olives. And the Mount of Olives is, and the Bible says it's a Sabbath day journey to Jerusalem. And now, in my mind right now, I'm up on top of the Mount of Olives, and I can see Jerusalem. I can see it because we were there, and we were looking out at it. And a Sabbath day journey is about 2,000 to 3,000 feet. So when Jesus came from Jerusalem, he goes to the Mount of Olives on the eastern side. And it says, tell us, when shall these things be, and what shall be the sign of thy coming and the end of the world? And Jesus answered and said unto them, take heed that no man deceive you. For many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. We've seen that, David, a bunch of people, different people saying they're Christ, and they claim that they're Jesus Christ. It says, you shall hear wars and rumors of wars, and see that you be not troubled. For all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation shall rise against nation. We've been seeing that for thousands of years. Nations shall rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines, pestilence, earthquakes in diverse places. When it says diverse places, like we just had an earthquake in Canada the other day. Alaska, I mean. It was Alaska. And there's diverse places, earthquakes happening. The Lord, you say, what is that all for? It's for the Lord to keep his word. And number two is for the Lord to wake people up, that his word is not going to go void. And when the Lord says something's going to come to pass, it's coming to pass. And the Lord's coming back. He's coming back. And the Bible says this. It says, and all these things must be as the beginning of sorrows, and then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted, talking about the Jews, and shall kill you, and you shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. There's right there is a prophecy. He said, you're going to be hated of all nations. Why does everybody hate the Jews? Why? You know why? Because they're God's chosen people. And the devil hates the Jews. He hates them. He hates Christians. He hates you. Don't ever think that this world is your friend. Don't ever think the devil is your friend. Don't ever think this flesh is going to worship God if you're not going to make it to. This flesh will never worship God unless you make it to. This flesh will never go to church unless you make it to. This flesh will never read your Bible unless you make it to. You got to get strong enough where you say, I'm overcoming this flesh and do what I'm supposed to do for God's glory. This flesh will not do what it's supposed to do unless you make it do it. And look on down. He says, and when many shall be offended and shall betray one another and shall hate one another, I had a guy call the church here, and he's on the answering unit, said, I hate you Christians. I hate you. I'm thinking, my Lord, this guy called twice. And he says, and I hate you Christians. I hate what you stand for. And I thought, I better tell the guys, because this guy might come in, you know, you're thinking somebody like that come in the door. And that's why we have somebody watching the door now. We have somebody, it's crazy in America, you got to have some kind of security at a door. Why? Because people hate God. They hate Christians. And I realize all Christians haven't been what they ought to be. They haven't lived like they should. That's why it's important for you to do it. Amen. For you to live your life that Jesus Christ would shine, like we were talking about this morning in Sunday school about being a light. And it says, then shall many be offended and shall betray one another and shall hate one another. Many false prophets shall arise and shall deceive many, because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. He says, And you find yourself getting cold towards people. You see so much murder, so much killing, so much stuff, you get cold towards it. And it says, but he shall that endure to the end, the same shall be saved. We know that's the tribulation passage, that they are enduring to the end of the tribulation. And this gospel of the kingdom, this is a different gospel than what we preach right now. We preach the gospel of the grace of God. This gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness to all nations. Then shall the end come. So the Lord's telling disciples on the Mount of Olives, he's telling them, this is a Jewish thing. He's telling them, this is going to happen before I come. Now, if you know anything about the Bible, you know there's two parts to the second coming of Jesus Christ. Two parts. How many of y'all know that? Raise your hand. There's two parts. The first part is the rapture. He's going to come like a thief in the night. He's going to come, and the Bible says, in such a time as you think not, the Son of Man cometh. And in such a time where you think, well, he's not coming, he's going to come. And it's getting darker and darker in this world, and things are getting, you say, well, man, you're supposed to lift me up. You're not supposed to depress me. I'm not trying to depress you. I'm trying to get your eyes open to realize, hey, man, like the Bible says, you know, your eyes opening and your understanding opened up so you can understand the Lord's coming back. And that's why all this stuff is going on. That's why the world's going crazy. That's why all this stuff's happening. And the Lord's coming back. But he said, that ain't the end yet. But he's coming. And are you ready for him to come? Most Christians, you know, the Bible says this, that if you love his appearing, you'll receive a reward, a crown for loving his appearing. You ought to be praying, Lord, even so, come on, Lord Jesus. And the Bible tells you, you need to pray that. And you need to love his appearing. You need to pray also for the peace of Jerusalem. You need to pray, God, keep, why? Because the Jews are going to be attacked, and they're going to be almost annihilated. And the United Nations, you say, the United Nations ain't going to save nobody. Matter of fact, they're the ones that starts it. And Matthew 27, go to Matthew 27. Look at verse 32. She got me thinking about this. A lot of people don't preach about the second coming. I'm going to tell you, the Lord's coming back. And as they came out, And you know what? Most churches today, if you watch TV, you watch the TV preachers, they never preach about Jesus coming back. Oh, maybe one would be John Hagee. He might talk about the Lord coming back. But the others, they're usually talking about how to get through this, you know, your depression, which is fine, that's good. How to make some money, how to, you know, plant your seed and give us your money so you can get money. It's all about me, 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 me. And that's what most of the TV preachers are doing. They're not preaching about the Lord getting your house together, get your house in order, the Lord's coming back. They're not preaching that. They don't preach about hell. They don't preach about it because why? It's going to hurt their income. Whenever you preach on hell, people do not like it. Christians don't even want to hear it. And whenever I preach a funeral, if y'all been to the funerals I preach, I always hit hell or I'll preach on hell. And I'll preach on it because why? I tell people, I say, I don't want you to go to hell. And I'm taking this chance of you being mad at me and getting mad and hating my guts, but I'm going to tell you the truth, but no matter if you like it or not. And I want you to like me, but if you don't, fine. Look in Matthew 27, look at verse 32. And as they came out, they found a man of Cyrene, Simon by name. Him they compelled to carry the bear his cross. And when they were come into a place called Golgotha, that is to say, a place of the skull, we were there, we've seen it. And they gave him vinegar to drink. And the reason I'm saying we've seen it, I want you to know these are places that are real. Amen. They're real. Things really happened in history. History, I was just reading in there looking at encyclopedias. You look up Jesus Christ. I mean, every encyclopedia, they'll have, there's one encyclopedia I got. It's got over 20,000 words about the man, Jesus Christ. I mean, this world, they trying to do away, like you hear about Christmas. I just heard it down in somewhere in Del Mar, somewhere a church put up a nativity scene. And the city council said, oh, you can't do that because you got to have, we got to represent all religions. And here's a church that doesn't represent all the religions. They represent one. And they're saying, you got to do all religions. That makes me want to put a nativity scene about 5 foot high outside. And because they let them come by and tell me that. So what are you going to do? I'm going to keep it out there. And but I know Jesus. See, but the world, and plus I say this, the world likes to keep Jesus in the manger. They want to keep him in the manger. Why? We can, as long as he's in the manger, we can keep him under control. That's the way the world looks at it. Let's keep Jesus in a manger. But they're trying to do away with Christmas. They put Xmas. They try to do away with the birth of Christ. Now, they're not talking about Jesus Christ, you know, being born. They're talking about Santa Claus. They're talking about Santa Claus, the man in the big red suit and all that stuff. You know, better watch out. Better not cry. You know, I tell you why. Santa Claus is coming to town. No, he ain't coming to town. Jesus Christ is coming. So the world constantly tries to get rid of God and get rid of Jesus Christ. I taught my children that there was no such thing as Santa Claus. He said, oh, you deprived them. No. They knew I didn't lie to them.
Amen.
They know I told them the truth. There is no such thing as, if you don't know this, the tooth fairy. Amen. There is no, if a tooth, I don't even like fairy, a fairy. I don't even want to tell my kids about a fairy. So, yeah, California fairy. But Matthew 20, 32, talking about Jesus Christ dying on the cross is a real place. And they gave him vinegar to drink and mingled with gall. And he had tasted thereof, and he would not drink. And they crucified him and platted a crown of thorns and cast lots, and might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophet. They parted my garments among them. And upon my vesture did they cast lots. And sitting down, look at this. And sitting down, they watched him there. The whole world, they sat down, said, let's see what's going to happen. Let's see what's going to happen. And they said over his head, this accusation written, Jesus, this is Jesus, the King of the Jews, mockingly. Then were the two thieves and so on. We know all the story. But I want you to go back in your Bible today. I want us to look at something. I want you to go to Deuteronomy chapter 18. And I'm talking about the second coming of Jesus Christ. All the way through the Bible, there's been a promise of the Lord coming back. There's a promise. There's promises of his birth, which we celebrate. We're coming up December 25th. I know Jesus Christ wasn't born on December 25th. If you've been saved any amount of time, you know he wasn't born on December 25th. He was probably born on the Feast of the Tabernacles around September. He was probably born right there. You said, why do we celebrate December 25th? Because that's what the world said, because the Catholic Church said it. The Catholic Church said December 25th. That's why they call it Christmas. 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 So the Catholic Church set that up. But we, anytime they'll worship Jesus Christ and recognize him, we try to take advantage of that. We try to use it for his glory. But he probably was born September, October, somewhere in there. And when he comes back, it's going to be sometime around April to June. April to June. The Lord always comes on, and when he showed up, and whenever anything happened in the Bible, is usually around a feast day. And if you read about the feast days, that's when the Lord's going to do something. Right around, we just had in September, I thought maybe he'd come back on the Feast of Tabernacles. But he was 33 and a half when he was crucified. So he was crucified on what?
Passover.
Passover was a Jewish feast that was recognized in Exodus chapter 12. So why? When they come out of Egypt. And Jesus Christ was our Passover. So whenever the Lord's coming back, you can believe with all your heart that he's going to come back on a feast day according to the Bible. Yeah. So here we're going into, we'll go into next year in April through June, somewhere in there, and he could come back on Pentecost. The world calls it Easter. So, all right, let's go to Deuteronomy 18. Go to Deuteronomy 18. Moses prophesied about it. Deuteronomy 18, about the second coming of Jesus Christ. And you say, why are you preaching this? Because so you won't have your head in the sand. You'll know that, I mean, the Lord's coming back. And like I said, well, you know, when she said that to me, it pricked my heart. And I said, well, listen, I'm going to preach on it. And so, you know, not all preachers are shying away from preaching on the second coming of Jesus Christ. I believe in the second coming of Jesus Christ. I believe he's coming back. Amen, don't you? I believe he's coming back real soon. Deuteronomy 18 and 19. Deuteronomy 18, Moses prophesied about it. And Bible says, I will raise them up a prophet from among their brethren, talking about Jesus Christ, like unto thee, and will put my words in his mouth, and he shall speak unto them all that I shall command him. And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall not hearken unto my words, which he shall speak in my name, I will require it of him. The Lord's already prophesied in Deuteronomy that he was going to have a prophet raised up like unto Moses, and Moses was a great prophet, and Moses preached the word of God. Now, there's another, that was 1,431 years before Christ. 1,431 years before Jesus Christ was born. Isn't that something? This book, this Bible right here is the only book that can prophesy thousands of years before something happens. The Quran, there is no prophecies. Yeah. I mean, Buddha had no prophecies. You know what people do? They say, oh, Nostradamus. Nostradamus said this. You know, Nostradamus had a Bible. Yeah. Yep. He had a Bible. And people will trust Nostradamus. Oh, he said that. Why? What about the Bible? Amen. The Word of God says it. Now, take your Bible, look in Isaiah 7. Prophet Isaiah, 700 years before Jesus Christ was born. 700. That's a lot of time, folks. Isaiah 7. And the Lord said he was coming back. He's coming the first time. And there's second, two parts of the second advent. There's two parts of that. He came the first time. We know for sure he came. He was born of a virgin. And there was a prophecy that he was going to be born of a virgin. And he was going to suffer. And like, you read Psalms 22, you read that, you ask the Jew, what is Psalms 22 talking about? They'll say, that's talking about the suffering of Israel. No, it isn't. It's talking about the suffering of Messiah. It's talking about Jesus Christ suffering for the nation of Israel and for all people. Now, look at Isaiah 7. Look at verse 14. Look at Isaiah 7, 14. Therefore, the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Who's the sign to? Jews. Jews require sign. Greeks seek after wisdom. He said, therefore, the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son. So what they tried to say, well, Mary, she got pregnant by a Roman soldier, and they tried to say that was Jesus. He was the Son of God. They make all kinds of claims and trying to do away with the scripture and trying to mock God and mock his word and try to say this really didn't happen. Jesus Christ, and plus they say Jesus Christ was a fornicator. He was messing around with Mary and Martha, the two sisters. Isn't that something? That's what the world thinks about the Lord. And, you know, I used to mock God too. I mocked God and said all kinds of wicked stuff about the Lord. Now, you say if a person says that, they're in jeopardy. Yes, but you see, still have opportunity to get saved while they're still breathing. Therefore, the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son and shall call his name what? Emmanuel, 8 letters in that word. 8. 8 is a number of new beginning. You say, why? I remember Gip preaching years ago. Brother Gip brought it out. He said, all the names in heaven's got 7 letters. Michael, Gabriel, all of them. But he said, why is it Emmanuel's got 8? Why? Because it's going to be a new beginning. Jesus Christ is called God with us. Why? He's going to reign on this earth. God with us. And it is 8 letters. He says, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, shall call his name Emmanuel. And it says, butter and honey shall he eat, that he may know to refuse the evil and choose the good. Behold, the child shall know to refuse the evil and choose the good. The land that thou abhorrest shall be forsaken, both her kings. And the Lord, there's a prophecy of both of them going to be forsaken. Now, that's 758 years before Jesus Christ was born. Here's another one. Go to Genesis 49. Genesis 49. This is 1689 years before Jesus Christ was born. Genesis 49. 1600 years. No man, no book other than the Bible could ever prophesy about a Messiah. And you say, well, we can go further back than that. We can go all the way back to Genesis chapter 3. We can go to Genesis 3 about verse 15, talking about the prophecy of the Lord coming. Here's Jacob prophesying about the Lord. Look at this. Genesis 49 and look at verse 10. Genesis 49, 10. And it says, the scepter shall not depart from Judah. The scepter is a golden scepter of a king. The scepter shall not depart from Judah, nor a lawgiver from between his feet, until Shiloh come, and on to him shall the gathering of the people be. Shiloh, the Messiah, the Savior, building his foal on the vine, his ass's coat onto the choice vine. He washed his garments in wine, his clothes in the blood of grapes. Notice that it says blood of grapes. So what do you mean? It says choice wine, washed his garments in wine. If you read Revelation, you read over in Revelation when Jesus Christ comes back, his vesture, his garment is going to be dipped in blood. Why? He's just coming from the battle of Armageddon. He's coming from that. 1,600 years before Jesus Christ was born. Now, we're not talking about the second advent yet. But here, the promise of the second coming, Jesus promises all the way through your Bible. In Matthew 24, he talks about it. Matthew 24, he talks about him coming back. Matthew chapter 16, he talks about it. And John chapter 14, 3, he said, I go to prepare a place for you. And he says, if I go away, I'll come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. That's John 14. The Lord promises he's coming back. Amen. He's coming back. Now, the Bible says God cannot lie. Now, the promise of the second coming, God, when God makes a promise, folks, he promised. He said, I promise that I won't flood the world again. It will never be a flood. You know what's going to happen? It's going to be by fire. How many of y'all have heard that? It's going to be by fire, not going to be a flood. He promises. He made some promises. When God makes a promise, brother, I was reading the book of Acts. In the book of Acts, take your Bible in Acts chapter 1. God made a promise. Acts chapter 1. And I'm going to tell you something. You ought to look at the promises of God. There's promises all the way through it. Acts chapter 1. And I'm looking for that. I was just reading this the other day. Maybe it's 1 or 2. Where look for promise. I had that in my mind. Just popped up. Yeah. Where God makes a promise that he promised that he'd come. Promised to indwell them. That's what it is. He promised to indwell them, the Holy Ghost. What is it? 233? 233. Look at 233. Back up verse 32. And Jesus saith, hath God raised up, wherefore, whereof we are witnesses, therefore being by the right hand of God exalted, and having received the Father the promise of the Holy Ghost, he hath shed forth this, which ye now see and hear. God made a promise that he was going to give you the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost is inside you. He said, this is what you see, the Holy Ghost. These guys got the Holy Ghost in them. The Holy Ghost, it says Holy Ghost, not Holy Ghost. It's the Holy Ghost. And he's inside you. That's a promise. When God makes a promise, God will keep his promise. When God promised that he's coming again, he said, I'm coming again. He's coming. You know what's going to happen? You're either going to believe it or you're not. You're either going to believe his promises or you're not. I mean, the angels announced his coming. We just seen that in Acts chapter 1. Look in Acts chapter 1, verse 10. Look in Acts chapter 1, verse 10. And while they looked steadfastly towards heaven, as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, ye men of Galilee, why stand gazing into heaven? The same Jesus which is taken up from you into heaven shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven. And returned, and they went back to Jerusalem. The promise, the angels even talked about it. The apostles talk about it. The apostles talk about the Jesus Christ coming back. Look in Acts 15. Look in Acts 15. The Lord talked about the second coming. You say, well, I've heard all this before. I tell you what, we need to be reminded. Reminded. He's coming. You need to keep your mind right. Keep your heart right. because he's coming back. In such hours you think not, the Son of Man cometh. He's coming back. Acts 15, look at verse 13. Acts 15, 13. The Lord's coming. You know why I say most Christians are saying, don't hold up a little longer, dear Jesus. I got plans. Now I pray, Lord, come on. Come on. Man, the sooner you come, the less this thing goes on, the less people die and go to hell. Look at this, Acts 15, 13. After they had held their peace, James answered them, men and brethren, hearken unto me. Simon hath declared how God at first visited the Gentiles, that's us, to take out of them a people for his name. You know what God did? He allowed you to hear his word so he could have a people that about his name. You're bearing the name of God. You got the name of God. You're his child. And that's why we ought to live it. That's why preachers preach on sin. That's why you preach on doing right. Why? You're a child of God. But as many as receive them gave you power to become sons of God, even them believe on his name. You're a child of God. You're not the child of the devil no more. That's why you can't get along with the devil. And if you can get along with the devil, then I check up my salvation. It says, to this we agree, the words of the prophets as written, after this I will return and will build again the tabernacles of David, which is fallen down, and I will build again the ruins thereof, and I will set it up, and that the residue of men might seek after the Lord, and all the Gentiles upon whom my name is called, saith the Lord, who doeth all these things. Known unto God are all his works from the beginning of the world. So God wants you to know what's going on, what's going to happen. He wants you to know it. He's coming back. And are you ready? Are you thinking that way? We have to get our minds right. Are you looking in the Word of God thinking, hey, the Lord could come anytime? Amen. I mean, if you're hanging out to places you shouldn't be, would you want Jesus Christ to find you in places where you shouldn't be? Or looking at something you shouldn't be looking at? Or doing something or saying something you shouldn't be saying? He could come. The Bible says he's going to come like a thief in the night. Boom, at the last trump. If you be walking down the road and all of a sudden you hear something sound like thunder, what was that? And you hear something that calls your name. You say, you believe the Lord's going to call your name? I believe so. We sing that song, I've got a new name written down in glory, and it's mine. Oh, yes, it's mine. Your name's going to represent how you've served him throughout eternity. Your name, when he calls you and looks at you, he's going to take personal time with you. We're going to say, how do you know that? Because Thomas said, I won't believe unless I see it. And the Lord walks in the room and says, hey, Thomas, remember what you said? Here's my hands. Look at my side, Tom. Thomas just falls to the floor. And Thomas has got a name that we remember. We call him Doubting Thomas. I don't want that name. I don't want Doubting Thomas. The apostles taught that the Lord's coming back. Verse 18. And the 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. Go to 1 Thessalonians 1. He's coming back. There's a second advent, and there's two parts to it. And like I said, preachers don't preach it no more. They don't believe it. They don't think the Lord's coming back. They think we're going to make this a heaven on earth. We got to prepare the world for the Lord to come. You know, that's why when you hear some of the Southern Baptists pray, have you ever been in a Southern Baptist church? You hear the deacons pray. They said, Lord, help us to advance your kingdom for you to come back. They believe that they're going to clean up the world good enough to make that way the Lord to come back when it's clean. He ain't coming back. Not when they think. And it's not going to get cleaned up until he cleans it. Amen. But what's important is that you keep yourself clean. Yes, sir. That's what's important. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, look at verse 9. For they themselves show of us what manner of entering in we had unto you, and how ye turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God. So when a person gets saved and they're looking for the Lord to come back, and it says, and to wait for his son from heaven. See that next verse? Whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath to come. What you ought to do is say, Lord, thank you for saving me from hell. saving me from the wrath to come upon this world. As you read your Bible, when you read the Bible, man says, this is hell on earth. It's going to turn into hell on earth. I ride down the road and say, thank you, Lord. Thank you for saving me. Thank you for giving me peace. Thank you for giving me comfort that I know what's going to happen. I know what's coming down the pike. I know the Lord's coming back. I know without a doubt. You say, preacher, you standing up there, I know it as I stand here that the Lord's coming. I know it. But the problem is, do you know the Lord's coming back? The Bible says, look up, for your redemption draweth nigh. You better be looking up. I'm not talking about riding down the road going, oh, look, and running into somebody. I'm not talking about that. But you need to keep your head out of the sand and out of the junk.
Yes, sir.
Social media and stuff, and man, start praying for people to get saved. When's the last time you prayed for somebody to get saved? When's the last time you prayed, God, give me a soul. Give me fruit. I want fruit in my life. Lord, I want fruit. I want something to show for my life while I've been on this planet.
Amen.
Yes, sir.
I want to have something to present to Jesus Christ. Yeah, the Bible talks about we're going to present our rewards to him. You find over in Revelation, you find the 420 elders taking their crowns off, throwing it at his feet. Are you going to have anything to present to him? Those kids came up here. They were so excited that they could present to me this shirt and that hoodie. They were so excited that I opened it up. Can you imagine what heaven's going to be like if you've been serving him? And the Lord looks at your life and says, what you got for me? What you got for me?
Amen.
Woo. Yeah. Well, Lord, them Christians down there, they called me. What? Man, them church members, I can't believe that they. All you do is blame everybody else.
Yeah.
You go back to the Garden of Eden. Adam, Eve.
Yeah.
Adam said, the Lord said, well, who told you you were naked? The woman you gave me is your fault. Eve says, no, it's the devil. A lot of people blame the devil and it wasn't him at all.
Yeah, that's right.
You're
right.
Who you blaming, man? Come on.
Amen.
He's coming back. Ain't no time to blame nobody. It's time to get busy.
Amen.
Time to serve him. People messing around. Well, you don't know what so-and-so said to me. Who cares?
Yeah, right.
Who cares what they said?
Yeah.
Man, this petty stuff, brother, sisters. Petty stuff.
Right.
They ain't going to amount to nothing.
Amen.
You know, the Bible tells us we're going to stand before a fire. Now, check this out. You're going to stand before a fire. You said, what's the fire for? It's for everything you've done in this life to put in there.
Right.
You said, what? Come now. What's coming out of it?
Yeah. Jesus.
It says gold, silver, precious stone.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. Yep.
Wood, hair, stubble.
Right.
Is your life just going to go up in smoke?
Wow.
Wow.
Yep. It's just going to go up in smoke. Nothing to show for your life. I remember I was working over a roofing company. I came back from Bible school. And I was working at the roofing company. I had a good job, making good money. And living in a company house and, you know, built a garage. And I remember saying, Lord, I pray that even now. Lord, is there anything else that I need to do? Show me. Give me the ability to do it. Because, man, our abilities are limited. My ability is limited. But I always ask God, show me if there's something else I can do. But see, we always think about the big thing. Well, I want to do the big thing. The Lord said, you can't do the big thing unless you do them little things first. You got to do the little things.
Yep.
It's like saying something to a brother or sister. Hey, brother, I'm praying for you, man. I love you.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, I don't like them. I don't care about them.
Yep.
Is that going to go through the fire? I don't like them. I don't like the way they look. My sister came in here this morning, and she said she was here before, Tammy's daughter, Mike's daughter. And I said to her, she said, well, my first time I came here, I had, what color of hair was it?
Pink.
And I said, did I say anything to you? She goes, yeah. I said, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to. She had a good attitude about it. Amen. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
You know, I got to be careful what I say to people.
Yeah.
I want her to come back. I want her to be a blessing. I want her to come here and get a blessing. Amen.
Yeah.
Amen. But don't dye your hair pink, girl. That's all. Teasing. The apostles talking about the Lord coming back. I mean, everybody in the Bible talks about the Lord coming back. Yeah. See, what's the conditions of the Lord coming back? It's going to be the Jews going to be dispersed, which was. They're going to be preserved, and they were. That's, you know, if anybody starts telling you the Bible's not true, tell them, explain to me this one thing, how it proves the Bible's true. How a nation can lose their ground. They lose the whole nation for thousands of years. Not just talking about 1 year, not talking about 2 years, not talking about 5 years or 10 years. I'm talking about for thousands of years. And then all of a sudden, God says, you know what? I'm going to bring them back. And I'm going to give them back their land. And it's going to be called Israel. Explain that. No nation in history, check it out. You can go through the United Nations all you want. No nation in history ever lost their land for thousands of years and got it back. So when did they get it back? 1948.
Amen.
It was a miracle of God. And the whole world wanted to wipe them out again. Mm-hmm. Hitler wiped out 6 million of them. He would have done a lot more. I got books at the house showing the Jews, showing a British soldier where the Germans ran out and they was in a concentration camp and they didn't get time to burn these bodies. There was 10,000 bodies and they showed a British soldier on a bulldozer pushing them all into a hole. You think, how in the world could men be so cruel? How in the world could a nation of people be so brutal? And God says, I'm going to disperse you. Why? You've rejected your Messiah. If God did that to the Jewish people because they rejected their Messiah, and for thousands of years they lost their land because of rebellion, and then they went through all that hell on earth, and God says, I'll tell you what, I'm going to give it back to you. And gave it back to them. And plus, on top of that, he's coming back to fight for them.
Yep.
What a thing, man. If somebody starts arguing with me about the Bible, oh, the Bible's written by man. Man put all that. I said, all right, just answer me this. How in the world could a nation lose their ground? That God's people, and then God turn around thousands of years later and give it back to them? Almost probably about 2,500 years. Almost. And give it back to them in 1948? And they just celebrated 70 years as a nation?
Yep.
America's been around since, what, 1776? And actually before that, but as a nation, 1776. Can you imagine if America loses, we lose America? We'll never get it back.
Yeah.
The conditions of the, historically, you know, the Lord's coming, and the regathering, you say, where's that? The Lord's going to regather, Ezekiel chapter 37. Educationally, knowledge shall increase. Brother, I tell you what, there never has been a time where you could take a phone and have at your fingertips knowledge of anything in the world at your hand. I remember, like I said, I've been working with guys and they come up with a bag phone. How many of y'all remember the bag phone? Come up with a bag phone. And you thought that was something else, man. This guy had a phone up on the roof. Now everybody's got a phone. And you try to take a phone away from somebody. Especially take it away from a teenager. They'll melt. There's been teenagers kill themselves because they didn't have a phone. The parents took their phone away from them. They killed themselves. Why? Over a phone. My parents don't understand. I got to be in connection with people. You're an idiot. Educationally, man, religiously, the Bible says it's going to be a falling away. And what we've seen, take your Bible, look in 1 Timothy. Well, I got to quit here in a minute. 1 Timothy 4, look at this. 1 Timothy 4, there's a falling away, brother, sisters. people falling away and people getting mad at God, and God's been so good to them. You ain't gonna be able to accuse God for nothing. Man is gonna be a falling away. That says, 1 Timothy. Did I say 1 Timothy? Yeah, 1 Timothy 4. Look at this. 1 Timothy 4. He says that, we read this a little while ago, the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits. I believe people are picking up seducing spirits through their phone.
Yep.
Yes, sir.
Amen.
And I tell you this, I believe the Antichrist is going to use the phone to give people the mark of the beast.
Yep.
I believe that. You can take your finger and put it on your phone now. You get a mark, you just put it up to your phone, up to your head. If you don't have a head, then you ain't. First Timothy 4. Now, the phone, I'm not against having a cell phone. I'm not against having a smartphone. I am against you spending all your time on it.
Amen.
I got a smartphone. But you got little kids. Little kids in elementary school walk around with a smartphone. The Spirit speaketh especially that in the latter times some should depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of the devil. How's it going to come in? It's going to come in through that, through social media. Speaking lies, hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron. You got Christians that are seared.
Amen.
Seared. You say, what is that? You take an iron, you know how you get a crease in a shirt, and you want to keep a crease in there? You take a hot iron and you crease it, and you put it on there, and that hot iron will sear it. People got seared, and they're rejecting the truth. They only want truth according to them, what they make up. All right, now the Bible talks about the Lord coming back. And like I said, there's two parts. The manner of his coming is unexpected. Man is going to be a glorious for the saints. You know, the Bible talks about in 1 Timothy chapter 5, it's glorious for a saint. Man, the Bible talks about the Lord's coming back, and it's not going to be an old secret. He's coming. It's not a secret. The purpose of his coming is to receive us, take us out of this world, and man, and to get the bride, and to reward his saints. And also, it says at the second part of the second advent, is he going to come back, he's going to fight against the devil and the world system, the second part. The first part takes place in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, 1 Corinthians chapter 15. I mean, it's the Lord's coming back. But then Revelation 4, the Lord's coming back, heaven's open. And then in Revelation 19, he comes back to fight. I mean, he's coming. And folks, I hope you remember the message that he's coming.
Yep.
He's coming. And are you ready? Are you serving him? Keep your minds focused on serving him. Why? Because you get stuck on stupid, it'd be stuck on yourself. Then all you can think about is what you want, and you'll just always be depressed, always be down, always be, woe is me. Why is all this happening to me? You'll be always no joy, no peace, no love of God, just stuck on stupid. You don't need to be that way, amen? We don't need to be that way. Coming from a Bible-believing church, say we believe the King James Bible is the Word of God, should be Bible-reading people. Should be praying people, seeing people saved. That fella called up saying, I hate Christians. The world hates Christians. I'm talking about true Christians. If they're not living right, I can understand why they hate them. Because they're living a double standard.
Amen.
Don't live a double standard.
Amen.
Be a light for Jesus Christ. You know, the Bible says men will come to the light. The light will draw them. If you're a light for Jesus Christ, your kids going to school, I mean, wherever you're at, be a light for Jesus Christ. To all men to Jesus Christ. He's coming. Are you ready? Ready or not, he's coming. Are you ready? I mean, the purpose of his coming, he's coming back to reveal his glory. Oh, he's going to be get his rightful place. Finally, you know, I read over in the book of John, the Bible says he conveyed himself away from the crowd because he knew that they were going to make him king there. That wasn't the right time. The time's come. You can make him king in your own heart, or you can be king. Or queen. But the time's going to come. The Lord's coming back. Boy, that's why this church is here to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's why this church is here to tell people, forewarn people, the Lord's coming back. We're not trying to keep people, nobody in bondage.
Amen.
The Word of God is set you free. When you know the Bible, It sets you free. You can't be bound when you know the Word of God. Knowing Jesus Christ is coming back, it sets me free. Because people always say to me, what's going to happen? I used to go in and mess with people at my work, and I'd walk into all the bosses, and they were all Southern Baptists. And one of them was a Catholic. And I'd walk in, and I said, they were talking about how bad the world was back in the 80s when I worked for them. And I remember walking in, and even my boss in Washington, D.C. in the 90s, I used to say, well, thank God we only got three more world wars to look forward to. And they would go, what? Where do you get that from? I said, Bible. Three more world wars coming. It's coming. You say, are you ready? I'm ready for the Lord to come back.
Amen.
Are you ready? Are you living for him? If you're not, you better get started.
Amen.
Why? You're going to be in front of a fire of your life and watch everything you got go up in smoke. You ought to raise your children to love Jesus Christ and be an example in front of them. You know what? Your children can be your fruit.
Yes, sir.
I want my grandkids to be my fruit too.
Yes,
I want my children to be my fruit. I want my grandkids to be my fruit. You know, the Bible says judgment must begin at the house of God. You ought to judge yourself and say, Lord, I want to do what's right. I want to live right. I want fruit in my life. You know what was sad about Lot? Lot couldn't even save any of his kids except for two daughters, and they committed incest with him. And Lot is a type of a Christian when Jesus comes back. God have mercy. Man committed incest and didn't know, got drunk. His daughter said, well, we ain't going to have no man. Let's have a child by our father. That's a sick pup.
Yeah.
Lord, thank you, God, for your word. Thank you, God, that we know what's coming. We know, Lord, that you're true. And God, would you say your promises always comes true and always will come true. And Lord, you promise that you will never leave us nor forsake us. And Lord, I pray, God, for my brothers and sisters. Help us remember, Lord God, that this world is not my home. We're just a passing through. Our treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. Help us to make up our mind that we're going to love you, serve you. And my Father, help us to honor you. You said if we honor you, you'll honor us. Help us to honor you for your glory and honor. And Lord, I think about kids all over this world that don't know you. My Father, that next generation, my Father, help our young people, help young people that are saved to try to reach their generation for your glory and honor. Help me to try to reach my generation and other generations for your glory and honor. Save that soul now in Jesus' name. Amen. Shake somebody's hand before you go. Go on over and get something to eat. And we'll be back here at 4 o'clock today. 4 o'clock. If you're not saved, come talk to me. If you're not saved.